Four children stumble through a piece of furniture and find themselves in a land locked in eternal winter. A fawn befriends a little girl, then weeps at his own treachery. A lion dies on a stone table to save a traitor, then rises again as death itself runs backward. What sounds like a fever dream has become one of the most beloved stories ever told, selling over 100 million copies and inspiring everyone from J.K. Rowling to Neil Gaiman. C.S. Lewis's tale works its magic not through elaborate world-building or complex plotting, but through something simpler and more profound. It captures the ache of longing we all carry for a world more alive than our own, where courage matters and sacrifice redeems. War evacuates the Pevensey children to a professor's countryside mansion. Rain traps them indoors, and Lucy's exploration leads her to a wardrobe that becomes a portal. Pushing past the coats, expecting wood, her fingers meet snowflakes instead. That childhood conviction that magic might be hiding in plain sight. In the snowy woods, Lucy meets Mr. Tumnus, a fawn who invites her for tea. Then comes his confession. He's supposed to kidnap her for the White Witch, who has cursed Narnia to be always winter and never Christmas. Despite knowing the witch might turn him to stone, Mr. Tumnus chooses Lucy's safety over his own. Lucy returns to find no time has passed. Her siblings dismiss her story, particularly Edmund, who mocks her mercilessly. Days later, Edmund follows Lucy into the wardrobe and meets the White Witch herself. She wraps him in her fur mantle and offers enchanted Turkish delight that never satisfies. As Edmund gorges himself, the witch extracts information. He has siblings. Learning there are exactly four children triggers her alarm. An ancient prophecy says four humans will end her reign. She manipulates Edmund into bringing his siblings to her house, suggesting secrecy. This scene captures how corruption happens, not through intimidation, but through sweetness, comfort, and the promise of being special. When Lucy and Edmund contradict each other about Narnia, the professor applies pure logic. Either your sister is lying, or she is mad, or she is telling the truth. Eliminating lying and madness leaves only one conclusion. However fantastic, Lucy speaks truth. When Peter protests that real things exist all the time, the professor challenges this assumption. Why should other worlds follow our rules? This represents reason embracing imagination, applying logic not to reject the fantastic, but to question whether impossible simply means beyond our current understanding. When all four children finally enter the wardrobe together, they find Mr. Tumnus's cave ransacked, a notice declaring him arrested for harboring humans. Mr. Beaver whispers words that stir strange feelings. Aslan is on the move. This name affects each child differently. Mysterious horror in Edmund, courage in Peter, delight in Susan, joy in Lucy. Even before meeting him, Aslan's name carries power. At the Beaver's Dam, Mr. Beaver reveals the White Witch is a usurper whose endless winter represents tyranny freezing natural growth. Ancient prophecies foretell that when Aslan appears, her winter will end, and when two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve sit on Cair Paravel's thrones, her reign will crumble. The children realize Edmund is missing. Mr. Beaver grimly confirms the betrayal. Enchanted Turkish delight amplified his worst qualities. Edmund's journey exposes temptation's hollow promises. Trudging coatless through snow, he fantasizes about being king and putting Peter in his place. At the castle, stone statues fill the courtyard, the witch's victims. Her reception shatters his illusions. No warmth or Turkish delight, only cold fury that he came alone. She orders silent pursuit of his siblings. The Beavers hide the children in an underground refuge. Hours later, jingling bells signal danger, but it's Father Christmas, whose presence proves her weakening power. Aslan is on the move, he announces, distributing crucial gifts. Peter receives a shield and sword, Susan, a bow and magical horn, Lucy, a healing cordial and dagger. As Edmund travels with the witch, Narnia transforms. Snow melts, grass appears, birds sing. The world shifts from January to May in hours as Aslan's presence grows stronger. The beavers lead the children to the stone table, where they meet Aslan. He is both good and terrible, with overwhelming royal eyes and a golden mane. Mr. Beaver's words, not safe, but good, become clear. His goodness includes majesty and power that inspire awe as much as comfort. Aslan welcomes them warmly, but immediately asks about Edmund. After learning of the betrayal, he promises help, though warns it might be difficult. When a wolf attacks Susan, Peter kills it, earning the title Sir Peter Wolfsbane. Edmund is rescued before the witch can sacrifice him. After a private conversation with Aslan, he reconciles with his siblings through a simple apology. Aslan tells the others there is no need to talk about what is past, establishing that redemption requires both genuine remorse and the grace to move forward. The White Witch claims Edmund under the deep magic. Every traitor belongs to me. After private negotiation, Aslan announces she has renounced her claim, though the terms remain secret. That evening, Aslan leaves camp, followed secretly by Susan and Lucy. At the stone table, he asks them to hide nearby. From concealment, they watch the witch's followers bind, shave, and mock him. He offers no resistance. The witch taunts, "You have given me Narnia forever. You have lost your own life, and you have not saved his." Then she kills him with her stone knife. After the witch departs, the girls stay with his body through the night. At dawn, they hear a great cracking. The stone table has split, and Aslan's body is gone. Suddenly, Aslan stands before them, alive and larger than before. He explains a deeper magic the witch never knew. When a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would work backward. Aslan's willing sacrifice proves self-sacrificing love more fundamental than ancient laws of justice, forming the narrative's spiritual heart. With death defeated, Aslan leads Susan and Lucy to the witch's castle, breathing life into stone statues. Lucy reunites with Mr. Tumnus. At Peter's army, Edmund redeems himself by destroying the witch's wand, though wounded. Lucy's cordial heals him and others. The children are crowned at Caer Perezel. Once a king or queen in Narnia, always a king or queen. Years pass. They grow into adults, ruling a golden age, nearly forgetting their former world. Hunting the white stag, they rediscover the lamppost. Following distant memories, they push through thickets that become coats, tumbling from the wardrobe as children again at the exact moment they'd left. The professor believes them, advising they won't return by that route, but will find their way back when not looking for it. What makes this story endure? Perhaps it's the alchemy of adventure and meaning, suggesting courage matters, sacrifice redeems, and the universe might be more wonderful than we dare believe. Lewis offers a middle way where reason and imagination unite, where ordinary children become royalty, and deepest winter yields to spring. The wardrobe door remains open, inviting each reader into a world where magic feels not just possible, but true.